This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. So here we are, mid-December 2019, 18 months, give or take, into President Trump's trade war with China. There is a deal today, as Kimberly and I were talking about up at the top of the broadcast, specifics and details to come. But we are going to spend some time on what has come to be a key sticking point in this whole shebang. Because you remember where we started, right? This trade war was about the really hard things, the structural changes the president wants Beijing to make to its economy, reform of state-owned enterprises and intellectual property protections, the really hard stuff. So hard, in fact, that that's not getting done in this phase one deal. What is getting done is ag, corn, and soybeans.
How are you?
Oh, lovely.
You're working.
Actually, it's I'm nearing the end. The end is in sight.
What does that mean? That sounds either ominous or good.
No, it's not ominous. It's good. So I'm on my last field right up here.
Yeah.
Everything's waiting for you to drive the combine.
No, really?
Yeah.
April Hemis has been farming her whole life on land her family's been working since 1901. Corn and soybeans, mostly. We're in Hampton, Franklin County, north central Iowa. Population about 4,200. My ride this morning is a combine harvester, a 2009 John Deere 9670, to be exact.
All right, here we are. It's cozy in here. Got a water bottle. It's like a joystick. It's a little bit of a...
Wow,
that's a nice that's a nice soft chair.
Okay. Okay, press that down.
Which one, this one?
No, this one. That's your parking brake.
Oh.
Press that down, and then that's going to do your...
Oh, I see.
This steers it.
So honestly, there's like two big monitors up here.
Right.
There's a satellite picture of where I is that
yeah,
where we are?
That's you. Wow. Now you have to select the field we're in.
Oh, April West.
Bain West,
81.
April's fields total about 1,000 acres in all, and we're here because of the hit that April and farmers like her have been taking in this trade war, as China, our biggest soybean buyer, has basically stopped.
Okay, now this is farmer, so you have turtle. Almost rabbit and rabbit.
Oh, that's too funny.
Turn it on rabbit.
Rabbit?
Big rabbit.
Big rabbit.
Yep, there you go.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That this is how you judge speed? Turtle,
yes.
Almost rabbit, and rabbit?
That's for farmers.
Okay, here we go. Here comes the rabbit.
Now, push two. Push two again. Okay, don't touch anything.
I'm not touching anything.
Okay, it's driving itself.
Wow.
China stops buying American agriculture, though they have started again gradually. But they stopped in the beginning. President Trump realizes farmers getting hurt could put him in a political hole. And last summer, the Trump administration announced something called the Market Facilitation Program, MFP, to provide, and here I'm quoting the Department of Agriculture, assistance to farmers and ranchers with commodities directly impacted by unjustified foreign retaliatory tariffs, resulting in the loss of traditional export markets. In all, according to Freedom of Information Act requests filed by Marketplace, more than 1 million payments were made between September of last year and this November the 1st, totaling almost $10.5 billion, including $62,781.51 to April Hemis. Money she used, she told us, to pay back the line of credit she has to take out every year for seed and supplies. And she said it helps, but it doesn't replace what she would be getting by selling her crops to China.
Let me get you all serious here for a minute.
Yes, sir.
We'll talk more about this later. But as you sit here combining corn, do you ever think about, like, the global economy? Not to be dorky about this, but this is kind of the pointy end of this. This is the pointy end of the sword.
Right, it is. And so some of this crop is already marketed for next year.
Oh, wow.
And what isn't... I have to listen to the news.
Yeah.
What's happening in Brazil? What's happening with the trade talks? Are we going to get a deal? Aren't we going to get a deal? Even if we do, is it going to really make a difference in the market? So, slow down.
Yeah, I just looked up to see I'm doing 5.3. Yeah. Sorry.
But that's okay.
Yeah, I'm coming. I'm all right. Easing off a little bit.
So, this is what farmers are up against. It has been... It's been a total, you know, the storm where everything came together. We had, you know, start with the tariffs, then we have the EPA exemptions, because all this corn right here is going to an ethanol plant.
Why do you do this?
Because I absolutely love to watch things grow, and it's the satisfaction of planting a seed in the spring and watching it grow and caring for it. So, you know,
it's amazing stuff is still coming out of the ground.
Yeah. And this is you know, when you look at Iowa and around here, this is 25% of the world's most fertile soil in the, you know. Yeah. So it's a gift, and I know it, and it's just something, trust me, I would not be getting up at 5 a.m. Yeah. and working till 11, like yesterday, you know, or doing what I do. But, you know, with all this comes... You know, I also feel the need to do leadership, too, and have our voices heard, because we're such a small part of the population, and people do not understand where their food comes from.
The food comes from right here. A $200,000 combine that drives itself, tells you how much corn you're getting in real time, and empties itself into the wagons that'll take April's crop to the local co-op.
See? Look at what you've done.
That is kind of wild. I mean, honestly.
So there you go.
There you go. That's cool. All right.
Okay. Red, yellow button again.
Oh, right. Sorry.
There you go. Yep. Are we done, or are you going
we're
again?
Done. No, we're done.
Okay.
Again.
Not quite. Lunchtime.
So, the Stumble Inn Bar and Grill. What are those elevators? Is that part of the co-op and all
that's
that?
That's the co-op.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Right by railroad tracks that run from Canada to the Gulf of Mexico.
This is quieter back here.
Okay.
We're a bit on the early side, but a small lunch crowd is trickling in. It's one of those places where everybody kind of knows everybody.
I just want iced tea with lemon.
I'll have a cup of coffee, actually. It'd be great.
Here's the thing about April Hemis. She's somebody in soybean. She's on the board of both the Iowa Soybean Association and the United Soybean Board. She goes back and forth to China, checking up on what used to be America's biggest soybean customer. And she plays the long game.
I'm not supposed to get political.
Well, I think it's interesting that politics hasn't actually come up much this morning. Because
no.
You guys are just...
I could, but I'm not going to.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess the gist of it is, you guys have work to do.
Right. I had a Belgium TV crew at my place, and he would not stop. Who'd you vote for? Who'd you vote for? And I go, you know what? It doesn't matter who I voted for. It doesn't matter who any farmer voted for. He's our president. The tariffs are in place. We have crappy prices. And this is the environment I have to realize how to make my farm profitable. And that's what I deal with every day.
So the question is, like for your soybeans, is the Chinese market ever coming back, or are you and your co-op and your buyers looking elsewhere?
I don't think it is, let me start with this, because 35, almost 40 years ago now, United Soybean Export Council put an office in China because they had the foresight to know that was going to be a big market. And then we grew that market and grew the demand, which was great, because China made the decision, okay, we're gonna import soybeans to feed our hogs. They're the largest hog producers and their people. Okay, that's what we're going to do. We had that market. It was great, you know. But then Brazil came on, and Argentina and all those. So they're putting infrastructure in there, you know, things like that. But what this has done, it's upset the soybean bushel basket.
Yeah. So look, we were talking before, and I'm sure this is just life for you, right? Things happen. Mm-hmm. You deal, right?
Every day. Bad weather,
floods, whatever.
Yeah.
Is the current, you know, low prices and tariffs and all that, is this just a this too shall pass kind of thing? And you're going to get up tomorrow and figure out how to plant your corn or whatever?
Yeah. I've been doing that for 34 years now. So this is, it's just another bump in the road, as we say.
I don't want to get too grand here, but...
Yeah.
And look, it's been going for 350 years, so this is probably a naive question, but is the farm economy as we know it today sustainable?
Oh, that's a really deep, thoughtful question. It is for me in my lifetime, in my farming, you know, because it is what I know. But technology is going to change everything, I believe, you know, whether it's the seed or how we harvest and things like that. So, you know, it's just like industries adapt to new technology. Farming will adapt too. And we're early adapters. You just got to drive that combine, Jeffrey.
I know.
Thank you. Push two, and it drove right.
Yeah.
Right. So I think farming as I know it will not look the same in 50 years. It won't look the same in 20 years, you know. Because you know what? At the end of the day, people got to eat. They don't They don't eat cell phones. They don't eat Apple products. They have to eat. And that's kind of the bottom line. I don't know, maybe that's oversimplified, but, you know.
The thing about global trade, which is really what this story's about, even though on the face of it, it's about getting corn in a combine. The thing is, it's not that simple. It's complicated and difficult and can't be told in just one go. So, more from Iowa next week on the program. And in the meanwhile, we've put our FOIA data on the Trump administration's subsidies to farmers online. Also, you can get a sneak peek of what's coming up in the video we shot while we were out there. All of it is at marketplace.org.